to turn to the book of 2 Kings, book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait or too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. This, of course, is the record of one of the many miracles that God did perform through his prophet Elisha. And as in all the recorded miracles of God, there's much for our instruction, much for our benefit, much for our encouragement. By way of background, times were bad for Israel. Spirituality was generally very, very low. And idolatry was rampant. And it was a time when God's judgments fell frequently upon the nation in the form of letting surrounding nations invade their land. Our text opens by making mention of the sons of the prophets. And I believe that these had been students under Elijah, and now they are students under Elisha. We see in 2 Kings 2 and verse 3, there was a group of these at Bethel that had come before Elisha, that is, they came and sat before Elisha, he being their teacher. We read in chapter 4 and verse 38, there were some of these in Jericho that had come before Elisha. And again, there we see them sitting before him in Gilgal. The fact that the sons of the prophets came to Elisha, the fact that they sat before Elisha, shows that he was their teacher. The sons of the prophets basically were the young preachers of that day. They were faithful followers of the Lord. They would have been a part of God's remnant, which was very small, God's remnant of that day. We see here that the sons of the prophets outgrew their quarters, and they came to Elisha in verse 1 saying, The place that we dwell is too straight, too small for us. In verse 2, they made a request of Elisha that they build a bigger place near the Jordan River. And Elisha gave permission to go ahead and move to the Jordan River and build a place there. One of the prophets requested the presence of Elisha, and he agreed to go with them. We see that in verses 3 and 4. From verse 2, we learn that the plan, as far as the building, was that every man, that is, every one of these sons of the prophets, would cut a beam for the building. In other words, all were to be involved in the work.
In verse 4, we see as these sons of the prophets are cutting down trees for the purpose of building. During the process of this building, that one of the young men lost his axe head in the Jordan River. Our text reveals how the axe head was miraculously restored to this man. And the very fact that the historical account of this single act, single event, is recorded in Scripture tells us that it has deep spiritual significance. And there is a treasure chest full of spiritual and practical lessons. Again, it is one of those things that were written aforetime for our learning. I want to speak tonight on the lesson of the lost axe head. The lesson of the lost axe head. Back in the 80s, I preached from this passage quite a bit. Had 5 or 6 different messages. There are many things that you can bring out in this passage. We want to go with the same theme that we had this morning. We see the loss and the restoration of that which was lost. We need to realize, we need to see what the axe head represents. Again, as the sons of the prophets are hacking away at the trees on the banks of the Jordan River, suddenly this one man's axe head flies off the handle, arches through the air, and bloop, lands in the water, sinks to the bottom of the muddy Jordan River. As soon as that happened, the very moment that that happened, this individual lost his power to cut down trees. This individual lost his ability to cut down trees. This man was no longer effective for that work. He was no longer useful for that work. Once that axe head left that handle, this man was no longer productive in cutting down trees. Once that axe head left that handle, this man could no longer effectively contribute to the work that was taking place. Once that axe head left the handle, this man was no longer useful in cutting down trees. Spiritually, that axe head represents the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And just as that axe head was essential to cutting down of trees, so you and I cannot effectively do the work of the Lord or be spiritually productive without the power of God. If we are going to be what we ought to be, if we're going to do what we ought to do, if we're going to advance spiritually, if we're going to have any spiritual impact whatsoever, if we're going to have any spiritual effectiveness in our daily lives, in dealing with circumstances. Again, many people are spiritually ineffective. They're spiritually inept of dealing with anything that comes their way. If we're going to be effective spiritually in our daily lives, it requires the power of God upon our lives. For without that, you and I are spiritually inept to deal with anything, to deal with whatever might come our way, to deal with everyday realities. We must have the power of God in our lives, we must have the power of God upon our lives. For without this, our lives become spiritually futile. Our lives become spiritually hollow and empty. We must have the power of God in our lives. For without that, we are unable to contribute spiritually. We're unable to contribute to our own spiritual well-being. We're unable to contribute spiritually to anyone. For us, again, to be what we ought to be, do what we ought to do, to advance further spiritually, that takes more than mere human ability. That takes more than talent. It takes more than intellect. It takes more than earthly resources. It takes the power of God. And that power, just like this asset, can be lost. The asset can be lost. This is a real possibility. This is a real danger. The asset, the power, can be lost. Now think about the one who lost his asset. We read in verse 4 that they cut down wood. And as they were doing so, something happened. Things are always happening. Verse 5 says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. They is the sons of the prophets. And one of them, one of the sons of the prophets, lost his accent. These were spiritual men. These were spiritual individuals. These were devoted men. These were faithful men. And one lost his accent. These men were eager. These men were willing to put forth effort in the Lord's work. And one of them lost his accent. Each of these individuals wanted to contribute to the building of new quarters. They each desired to be useful in the Lord's work. But as one of these, that is, one of these men was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. This was a man who had taken an interest in the Lord's work. This was a man who had participated in the Lord's work. And it is this man who lost his power to contribute to the work, to be productive. He can no longer be productive. Once that axe head left that handle, this man can no longer be productive. We need to understand the spiritual, the devoted, the faithful, those who are eager, those who are willing to give of themselves in the Lord's work, can and do lose their accent and become useless in the work of the Lord. The most spiritual amongst us can become spiritually inept. Just like that. Just like that. We can become spiritually useless, spiritually inept in dealing with everyday living. Many cannot handle everyday life in their spiritual condition. They are spiritually inept. They have lost their axe head. Their axe head is at the bottom of the Jordan River. It's in the mud. It's buried. And they're spiritually inept. This is a real and present possibility. That we lose our axe head. This is a real and present danger. That we lose our axe head. But I want you to notice when he lost his axe head. Again in verse 4, they, these spiritual, devoted, and faithful men, cut down wood. So what we have here is a scene of activity. And it is an activity of purpose. There they are. Working with great vigor. The chips are flying in all directions, knocking down tree after tree. But then comes verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. It was while he was working. It was while he was doing the Lord's business. It's while he was zealous and busy in the work of the Lord that the axe head flew off, arched through the air and landed in the Jordan River. It was while he was cutting down trees. In the very act of cutting down trees, he lost his power to cut down trees. It's not when he was being lazy. It was while he was working that he lost his accent. This man was actively engaged in a good and useful work when he lost his accent. He was engaged in a work that had spiritual purposes when he lost his accent. No doubt he was doing his best. Doing his best in a work for spiritual purposes. Doing his best in the Lord's work. And it was while he was doing that he lost his accent. This is a real and present possibility, a real and present danger. Many in Christendom are of the mindset that as long as I stay busy in spiritual things, I am okay. But that is not true. That is not true. Because this man was very busy. In a good work. And he lost his accent. Now I believe while he was hacking away, the axe head was gradually slipping from the shaft. Obviously, he did not notice. We must be aware of all at all times. Don't you think for a moment, as long as I'm busy in the Lord's work, I'm okay. You need to be aware at all times of spiritual power slipping away. This man was involved in the work of God. But involvement will not make up for watchfulness concerning our spiritual condition. Had this man noticed that the axe head was loose, The wise and responsible thing to do would be to stop and take care of the exit. So it is with God's people. The first sign of slippage of the power of God in our lives, the wise and responsible thing to do is to tend to that matter right then and there. That's the wise and responsible thing to do. Not to tend to that matter is unwise. And it's irresponsible. Because you're going to lose your accent. We must not become so busy, even in the Lord's service, that we do not pay attention to the accent. We're always to pay attention to the accent. We must realize that serving the Lord does not just consist in outward activity. There must be attending to the accent. There must be a watching the accent. So this spiritual man, this devoted and faithful man, while he was busy in the Lord's work, lost his accent. Now we want to look at the behavior of this individual. And here's where we learn much. Consider what this man could have done, but did not do. As soon as the axe head slipped off the handle, he could feel it. Because the weight of the axe head was suddenly gone. And as soon as that handle became light, he looked up and he could see the axe head going through the air. And he knew exactly where it landed. In the Jordan River. In other words, he knew what happened. He knew what happened. And I find it hard to believe that a person can lose the power of God and not know it. He knew what happened. So consider what he could have done, but he did not do. He did not try to hide the loss by continuing to swing the axe handle. He could have continued to swing that axe handle with no accent. Just try to fit in. And had he done so from a distance, everything might appear to be okay. But he did not try to blend in by continuing to swing the axe handle, hoping that no one would notice. I've lost my axe head, but I'll just keep swinging this handle and maybe no one will notice. He had not forgotten when that axe head went off the handle. He still knew how to swing the axe. He had not forgotten that. He still knew how to show proper form. But he realized that going through the motions would have been an effort in futility. He realized that immediately. He could swing that axe handle all day long, making contact with the tree, but at the end of the day, he would not have cut down a single tree. That describes the life of many. They swing the axe handle all day long, but at the end of the day, they haven't cut down a single tree. He could swing that axe handle again with proper form. But at the end of the day, he would have been spiritually ineffective. He would not have cut down a single tree. For many of God's people, their axe head is lost at the bottom of the river. And they have become mere axe handle swingers, simply going through the motions. And their lives have basically become motion without progress. That describes the spiritual life of many. Secondly, he did not try to replace the loss with more effort. When the axe head went hurling through the air, he could have said, well, I'll just put forth a little more energy. But no amount of human energy would have replaced what was lost. Without the axe head, no amount of energy would have cut down a single tree. He could have swung that handle with more force, but at the end of the day, he wouldn't have cut down a single tree. I'll just work harder. And at the end of the day, he would have just been exhausted and having accomplished nothing. And you will only do that for so long. You will only do that for so long. Working, 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 and accomplishing nothing. Somewhere along the line, you'll quit completely. And again, that describes the life of many. He could have swung the handle faster. But in spite of all the effort, he wouldn't have cut down a single tree. Again, to try and replace the irreplaceable with more energy and more effort simply leads to living life, basically our lives become again motion without progress. There are always trees to cut down, spiritually speaking, every single day. There is spiritual ground to be gained. There are battles to be won. There are enemies to be overcome. And it requires the power of God. It requires an axe head. And simply going through the motions. You can go through the motions of worship. You can go through the motions of prayer. You can go through the motions of repentance. You can go through the motions of serving God. But at the end of the day, you have accomplished nothing. Nothing has been accomplished. Thirdly, he could have, but did not, make excuses or cast blame. As soon as that axe head flew off that handle, his immediate response was not, "It's not my fault." That wasn't his response. "Well, I didn't mean for that to happen." His response was, because we know it was borrowed, he said it was, "The man who lent me this should have checked this. It's his fault." It's not what he said. He didn't blame it on the manufacturer. He made no excuse. He did not look for anyone to blame. He did not make, again, he could have made excuses. He could have cast blame. But at the end of the day, he wouldn't have cut down a single tree. Fourthly, he could have, but did not, sit down in despair and quit. As soon as that axe head flew off the handle, he could have taken the attitude, why did this happen to me? Why do these things always happen to me? This isn't fair. Why didn't his axe head fly into the river? Why didn't his? Why me? Why me? He didn't feel sorry for himself. He did not sit down and just, at this point, and become an observer. He has no power to cut down any more trees. The easy thing to do would be sit down and just observe. And observers always become critics. He could have done this, but again, at the end of the day, he wouldn't have cut down a single tree. He could have, but did not, sit down and discuss the proper way of cutting down trees. Again, he could have become an observer. He could have become a critic. And he could have said, see that guy over there? He's not doing it right. If I was him, I'd do it this way. But he's doing nothing. That's the response of many. It's amazing how many people who do not serve God know how he's to be served. And it's amazing. How many people who have no interest in serving God and they're an expert? This man still knew how to swing an axe. But he didn't just sit down and become a critic. He did not just sit down and talk about the trees he used to cut down. He didn't sit down again, all the talk and all the know-how. At the end of the day, he would not have cut down a single tree. So what did this man do? As soon as the man feels the axe head fly off the handle, he cries out in despair, alas, master! He did not use any human means to recover the axe head. He didn't dive into the river to go look for it. He didn't try to figure out some system on how to get the axe head out of the river. He cried out in despair, alas, master. He cried out to the one that he believed could help him. The man still wanted to cut down trees, but he knew that he could not without the axe. So he confessed, alas, master. The first step in recovering the axe is to know that we do not have it. That's the first step. That's the first thing we must realize. I have lost the accent. I have become spiritually inept to deal with everyday circumstances. And then we have to be burdened and concerned enough to confess it. Not to pretend that we didn't lose it. Not to try and fit in. But to immediately confess, the axe head is gone. It was as if this man said, all I have is this handle. And I can't cut down trees with this. Alas, master.
All I have is this handle. And I cannot be effective in the Lord's work with just this. If you've lost your accent, we ask you tonight, are you concerned and burdened enough to confess it to the only one who can replace it? To the only one who can recover it. That's what this man did. We see also that he saw the seriousness of his loss, and he viewed it as a tragedy. Many people today lose their spiritual effectiveness, but they do not consider it a tragedy. It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy. It will lead to greater tragedies. Again, as soon as the man feels the axe head fly off the handle, and spears in the Jordan River, immediately cry out, "Master." That word, alas, of course, is an expression of misery. The man immediately felt the loss. It is a cry of anguish. It is a cry of distress. It is a cry of agony. It is a cry of torment and despair. He could feel the axe head leave that handle. And he knew, I can no longer be effective. I can no longer be useful in this work. And he viewed it as a tragedy. He viewed it as a horrible thing. Alas, Master. When an individual gets in a spiritual state where they are spiritually inept to properly deal with situations of life, you need to view that as a tragedy. You need to view that as a horrible thing. When an individual becomes spiritually inept, where they are no longer able to be spiritually useful in the lives of others, that is a tragedy. That is a horrible thing. And if we realized how tragic it was, because it happens to all of us, we would cry out immediately, "Alas, Master." When one loses their axe head, it's a tragic loss to them individually. It's a tragic loss to homes. When a mom or dad loses their axe head, that's a tragedy for that home. That's a tragedy. Bad things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. Tragic things are going to happen. When an individual loses their axe head, that is a tragic loss for the church of which they are a member. Because everyone's affected. Notice there was a sense of accountability. Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. It wasn't mine. In other words, I'm going to have to give an account to the owner of this axe head. I am responsible. We need to realize that when we lose our axe head, you can blame it on whoever you want to, but in the end, you are accountable. Alas, Master. It was borrowed. He was acknowledging that he would give an account. The axe head was gone. the power, his effectiveness, his usefulness to cut down trees was all gone. And he feels responsible. Oh, we need to get back to that. That as soon as the axe head leaves our lives, we feel a responsibility. He had to admit and acknowledge where he lost it. Verse 6, and the man of God said to him directly, "Where fell it?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, guess what? You're not getting it back. You'd better figure it out. You'd better figure out where you lost it." "Well, I just don't know." "Well, you better get to figuring it out. Where fell it?" If you want to recover something, people ask ridiculous questions when you lost something. "Well, where was the last place you had it?" "Well, if I knew that, I'd know where it was." But that's basically what he's asking here. Where fell it? Where'd you lose it? We have to get back there. The man not only had to realize and confess that he did not have his axe head, he had to know where he lost it. He said, "Where fell it?" So that tells me when that axe head was going through the air, the man looked up and he saw where it fell, in the Jordan River. And if you have lost the power of God upon your life, and as a result you have become spiritually inept in your daily life, you need to hear and you need to answer the question, where fell it? Where did you lose it? This is the danger of not taking care of it when it first happens. You let months and years pass, and it's going to be hard to figure out where fell it. Where fell it? A lot of people have to honestly answer that question. "I don't know. It's been so long, I have no idea." Where fell it? You need to go back where you lost it. I believe that is so. If we lose, we begin to lose our spiritual desire. We begin to lose our spiritual passion and zeal and our burden. You need to go back where you lost it. If you have lost your closeness to the Lord, you need to go back where you lost it. If you've lost the sense of His presence, if you have lost sight of the reality of God, you need to go back where you lost it. So many are trying to put their lives back together without going back where they lost it. You've got to go back there. As painful as it might be, you've got to go back there. That's where you'll find it. If you've lost your marriage, you have got to go back where you lost it. You got to go back there. "Well, I don't want to." You're not going to get it back. It hurts too much. It's worth it. You got to go back. If you've lost your home, you got to go back where you lost it. Again, this is why it's so important that we tend to these matters as soon as we feel them slipping away. Where fell it? That's a heart-searching question. You go to the Lord and you say, "Lord, I just don't have the desire that I once had. And I believe the Lord will say, where'd you lose it? Where'd you lose it? Requires examination. It requires honesty. And then notice what it says there in verse 6, in response to the question, where fell it? And he showed him the place. He walked over to that river and he said, right there. That's where it fell. He showed him the place. He knew. He knew where he lost it. Then comes the miracle. God restores that which was lost. The one who lost his axe head confesses, shows where he lost the axe head, and what he had lost was miraculously made visible. Verse 6, and he cut down a stick. It's a symbol of the cross. I believe that's another message. And cast it in thither. That is the place where he lost it. And the iron did. Anytime you read the words, the iron did, something miraculous has happened. The iron did swim. That means, you know, people will say the Lord just brought it to the top. I believe it's more than that. The iron did swim. It became alive. There's a picture here of salvation also. Now the Lord, in addition to making the axe head come to the top of the water, he could have given it wings, made it fly out of the water and attach itself back on the handle, had he so pleased. But that's not what he did. He brought it to the top of the water. The individual can see it. That's it. That's my axe head. That's the axe head that I borrowed. And he said to him, verse 7, take it up to thee. You see what's happened here? He's made the axe head available. He brought it to the top of the water, and he said, take it up to thee. And then we read, and he put out his hand and took it. What was lost is now restored. And guess what? He could get back to cutting down trees. He could get back to contributing in the work. He could get back to being effective in the work, being useful in the work. If you've lost your accent, don't pretend that you haven't. That won't work. The truth is, if you do that, you'll find yourself fellowshipping with others who are pretending the same thing. Those people kind of flock together. They kind of flock together. They all know we're not doing a thing, but we got some of them fooled. Don't try to ignore the loss. It's a tremendous loss. Don't try to replace it with other things. Realize the seriousness of the loss. Realize that you cannot accomplish anything spiritually until the loss is recovered. Realize that you are accountable for the loss. And cry out unto the Lord, confessing your loss, and then go to the place where you lost it. And when you do all of those things, I believe God will make it available. And there it is. Now reach forth by faith and take it and get back to cutting down trees. God still does this. This is very encouraging because every single one of us lose our axe head from time to time. And it's very encouraging to know that we can get it back. And God tells us the way. He tells us how to get it back. And all the thrill. It's painful to go back where you lost it. But once you get there, all the thrill. There it is. There it is. The very thing I lost. You've come that far. Don't walk away. Reach out and take it. And now you can get back to being spiritually effective in your everyday life. God help us today. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.